Money doesn't respond to effort. It responds to energy. When you chase it, it runs. When you fear it, it takes control. But when you respect it and appreciate it, it flows toward you. So if you are ready to stop chasing and start attracting, stick around. You are listening to the Confidence in Trading podcast. I am your host, Agnieszka Wood, a trading mindset coach and a seasoned day trader with over a decade of experience. If you are new to my show, don't forget to subscribe so you can come back for the next episode. In this podcast, we explore the fascinating world of psychology and the human element of trading. We take a deep dive into different perspectives to inspire you and help you navigate the emotional ups and downs of trading with self-compassion and confidence. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, this podcast is your trusted companion, providing support on your trading journey. Get ready to boost your confidence and unlock the secrets to mastering your mindset for success. Welcome to episode 67, How to Stop Chasing Money and Start Attracting It. And Greg is here with me again. Welcome back, Greg.
Hi, everybody. Still my favorite part of the week, and I can't wait to chat about this topic because it is one that, even if you're not in trading, this is a topic that a lot of people do want to hear about for sure.
Absolutely, because money is something that is not just in trading, but we are confronted with money every single day, right? We always need money. We have that idea we need money to live. And this is exactly what I would like to talk about today, that urge for money and how we approach money and what are our beliefs about money and how does it influence how we treat money in our life. And a great way to begin with would be to look at how did we grow up and how is that influencing our life now and how we treat money in our life. So what was your experience, Greg, in the past? Like how did you grow up in relation to money?
My family was from middle class and we were from upstate New York. And I had three sisters, so there were four of us and both my parents. And we lived in a neighborhood. It was great. By no means did we grow up with, plenty of ample cash, but we also didn't grow up, really in the need of a whole bunch of different things. My parents were able to provide a lot of what we needed and wanted, but there were also circumstances where, money had to be really thought about because there was four of us in the family, and my mother being a teacher and my father working for the state. There wasn't massive amounts of inflows of cash that was, consistently happening.
Right.
My parents were absolutely amazing at what they were able to give us and show us and teach us. And they were able to give us an allowance and they showed us the value of money we had different chores that we had to do. And I still to this day remember that, God, I used to hate washing the dishes, but that was part of the thing that you had to do to earn some money. And sometimes we would trade. Sometimes we would wash the dishes. Sometimes we would dry the dishes. Sometimes you'd have to be the one that put them away. And you would rotate all of your responsibilities in order for you to do what you needed to do. I obviously did a lot of outside work with my dad around the home. So those were types of environments that my parents put us in to show us the value of working for the money. And once you got it, you then didn't fear or spend it, frivolously, because you knew you put the effort in to make it. And once you did, you started to respect the fact that, oh, okay, this is mine. How do I get to choose to deploy this? When do I choose get to buy this? And what really is that money going to motivate me to do? And all those aspects that we came through for most of our lives was really amazing at how my parents were able to help us understand the concepts, especially not coming from a wealthy family, just middle-class family, was extremely helpful to be able to gauge where I sit now on how I view money.
Do you feel like the belief about as long as I do some work, I will get money is present in your life based on how you've learned to earn money?
Sure. For that, 100%, which is why once you learned that you had to put in effort and make money and that was the result of bringing it back, growing up, I always had thought that, you know, I had to work, I had to do this, I had to, you know, 40 hours a week, I had to do that. And all of that conditioning that came along with money came back from, this is a reward for me putting in effort and time. Well, obviously that shifts once you start to realize that it's a condensed, concerted effort in an area that you want to push your time toward. Now, that means that you can start to make money in trading like we do now. And that was a change for me, a vast different shift from working 40 hours a week to then going, well, can I trade for 2 hours? Can I trade for 4 hours? You know, what's going to be able to bring me back the amount of money that I need? And once I started to recognize that, I had to break that whole stereotype of working the X amount of hours for X amount of income. And that was a different relationship with money. But it was one that, you know, has really allowed me to flourish now, to be able to understand that it doesn't take 40, 80, 60 hours a week. It takes the amount of time for you to dedicate what you want and really bring in the ideas and concepts that money is one of the most powerful things that you can have, but it doesn't mean that you need to just continually chase that in every single instance.
Right. Yeah, because that's the concept of exchanging your time for money, right? And I see it from a lot of traders taking the same type of belief of, if I work harder, I will make more. And that is exactly what is hurting them in trading, because you're trying to sort of make a quota for today, right? Like, I cannot just sit here for 30 minutes and then walk away because then I did not work hard enough, meaning I probably will not make enough money. So that feeling of like, I need to work longer and harder, that is what causes a lot of sabotaging behavior. It's so interesting to hear your story, how you grew up. I grew up in communism. And if any of you guys who are listening are familiar with communism, it's a planned economy. So basically, the government is taking care of your well-being, and you just have to show up to work, and then you will get a certain amount of money, and they decide how much things you will buy. So pretty much, you know, keeping everyone equal and just barely surviving was basically how I grew up. There were not many things in a store. When we would go shopping, the store would be empty. And then from, you know, at a certain time, the delivery would come, and then we would be able to buy things. Not as much as you wanted, because everyone wanted as much as they wanted. We would have coupons that decided how much sugar or how much meat or, you know, other articles we were allowed to buy per month. And in order to get those coupons, you had to work. So my mom and my father, they worked for companies, and then every month they would get coupons for the articles that we were allowed to buy per month. And that extended not just to groceries, but also to like shoes, for example. So it was a very interesting time to grow up in. And, you know, as a child, you don't really realize what is happening. And then when I became a teenager, when Solidarność won, and the communism ended in Poland, from one to another day, at least this is how it felt for me, suddenly there was everything in the store. Like, we could buy anything we wanted. So people started hoarding things, because what if tomorrow it's not there anymore, right? So you get this incredible scarcity. So people ran into the store and they would buy everything. But then the next day they come in and there's again full. Whatever you wanted, it was just there. Right. So completely different type of thinking that we had to get used to just because the circumstances have changed. But going back to communism, what I've learned as a little girl was actually through how my parents were dealing with the situation. My father would travel abroad to work abroad and then send us money. So he would go into like some kind of construction project. So he would not be with us for a year, and he would sacrifice, you know, pretty much his own life, right? His family, and he would go there and do that for us. So I've learned that in order to have money, you have to sacrifice.
Yeah.
That it has to be hard. You have to struggle in order to have money, because this is what I have seen from my parents, right? They struggled. And then when communism ended, suddenly we had this incredible wealth. We had like 3 cars, and my father had a company, and the money was just flowing and flowing. And it was just like complete the opposite, you know? But my parents were not throwing money away just because they had money. They stayed really frugal. So I always had this thought of, I want to have my own money. In fact, when I was already, you know, like 13, 14, I would go and pick cherries or apples just to have some money, because I knew you have to be resourceful. So I grew up in this spirit of, I have to take care of myself. I have to have money, and I will take care of it. So when I went to high school, my friends were always wondering, like, how do you always have money? But I would always find some sort of job. I don't know, I would go and work on like a conference, and I would be the hostess, you know, and I would go find an agency that was helping some other companies, and I would do something for them. Or like, I would always do something next to my usual life just to have money. And that continued me being resourceful. And even when I had a corporate job, I always had something next to it. I would always do something. Usually it grew from my hobbies, and I would make my hobby a job. But that resourcefulness and the fact that I knew I have to struggle and sacrifice, that was a very, very strong belief that I showed myself that it worked. And that was something that really bit me when I started trading.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did not allow myself to take the money easy way. And if it was easy, I would just completely mess it up.
Fascinating.
So I could struggle, and I was so used to it, I would come on top and say, I did it. You see, I did it. I managed. And that cycle, that self-sabotaging cycle, it was exhausting. And it was only when I started trading that I actually noticed how much of that cycle I was projecting into my life everywhere, in every single area so far. Like, having a business and being on the verge of breakthrough to make my business really successful and grow bigger, I would just decide all of a sudden, nope, I'm just going to stop it. I'm just going to start something new. Like, this was purely from self-sabotage, because I had to struggle, and I was really, really good at it. And that's how I discovered, when I discovered that pattern, that is what really helped me to change everything in my trading and allow myself to actually enjoy getting money the easy way, because it is possible.
It absolutely is possible. That is such a different dichotomy to take into account. I had never thought about the economic diversity that was available to me and not available to others, because of the only thing that I know is living here in America and being brought up in that system and having the understanding of, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. But mine was trading time for money. Yours was a totally different shift than how you chose to see that, and the perspective on how you view money and the way you would get it and why you would get it. Absolutely fascinating to hear that from that perspective, for sure.
Let's talk a little bit more about the power of money. Everyone wants to have money, but money can have incredible power over us. And it's really interesting to notice, from like ourselves, to confront yourself with, how do you think about rich people? What is coming up when you see people who are powerful because they are rich? Like, do you have any negative connotations? Are you maybe thinking, oh, they probably did something illegal? Are you looking at them with like, oh my gosh, look at him? Or are you thinking, one day this is gonna be me? Because it's impossible to have a negative connotation with being rich and becoming rich. It's like this opposing energy, right? And that's just not gonna happen.
It's not, and that is such a different. There's probably, I mean, we could probably do, I mean, five different podcast episodes on just that topic alone. There's going to be a whole bunch of emotion involved in what you choose to project onto someone that you view with money and someone that you view without money, and that emotional tie-in that you're going to say. And for me, I would 100% view someone that is successful and has enough money to live a lifestyle that makes them happy. That's great. That is successful. But for me personally, when you get to a level that is of opulence, where it becomes more money than you could ever possibly even choose to spend in your lifetime and everyone in your family's lifetime, that just becomes an emotional tie for me, because I then go back to, God, how could I be able to help so many people if I had that much money?
Right.
Like, if I had that much money, I would be able to help so many different organizations, so many different people, so many different, people that are struggling or people that just need a help. How would I do that? And that's a different emotional tie than an individual that just has making a couple million dollars a year. And
Right.
the negative connotation that you can look at from certain individuals is, yeah, you can look at, individuals that have a pathetic amount of money that, are drug lords and sell massive amounts of drugs, and they have pathetic amounts of money with a negative connotation because of the way that they're doing it and how they're choosing to spend their money isn't productive. But there's
Right.
other people that may go, I want to be that. And it all ties into the emotional side and how you choose to project what that money can do, how you would choose to spend it, where the value is for you in your life. And a lot of that comes from how we were raised and what we our belief systems are when we were younger.
That's such a good point, because there are a lot of people out there who don't even dare to say, I love money. I would love to have a lot of money, because they are afraid that it says something bad about them. If you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of good. So why wouldn't you want to have a lot of money, right? Like, in what sense would that be bad? But I think that that goes even much deeper, is when you are looking at your own value and you identify yourself through the money. And if you don't value yourself enough, you're cutting that stream of money to you because you don't feel you deserve it. So you automatically are kind of trying to dismiss the money, like, oh, I don't need all this wealth. It's like, if I just have a nice life, just can afford my groceries and the car and, just being relaxed. It's like, yeah, that's great. And that's fine if you want it, but look at, what good could you make to you, to your closest one, to the world, if you had a lot of money? So why would it be bad to have a lot of money? But not being able even to have that vision, envisioning yourself being rich. And probably that's why we have this expression, filthy rich, right?
That's fair. That's
Yeah.
it. That's a negative connotation.
Very negative. It's like, would you want to be filthy rich? How does that make you feel inside? Good about yourself? Or is there something like, yeah, no, I wouldn't want it, because maybe what other people would say?
Oh my God, that'd be terrible. Yeah, you can hear it. And it's one of those things, even just the way that we choose to express how we feel about it and say to other people, well, if I won the lottery, I would be able to do, or if I won so much money, I would love to be able to. That's how you should view it all the time. It shouldn't take you buying, a Powerball ticket for hoping that it's, 500 million, and you go, oh boy, if I win that 500 million, I'm going to be able to do X, Y, and Z. I would love to be able to help out these people. I'll those, you know, pay off all the debts from everybody in my family and, you know, make them like, that's how your consistent view of money should be. Not just that, you know, in a pocket of if I were to ever someday possibly get a whole bunch.
Right.
No, keep thinking.
Right. In fact, we could even exchange that if with when, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fantastic when I have all this money and then I can do this or I can do that? But getting yourself into that mindset that it's actually possible, as opposed to questioning whether you are able to do that or whether you're worthy, because that is where those all like, but, you know, will I ever be able to do that? And that is cutting off the energy flow towards what you actually want. And then another thing that a lot of people would say is need. I need money. I need money to live. Well, you need oxygen to live.
Let's be real. Let's be real.
If we really look what you really need, that's not the money. Yes, the money is definitely a tool for buying things, but it's also an energy, and you get the money for exchange of your energy, whether it's your time, it's your effort or goods, your services, you are exchanging your energy for a form of energy. We are actually not making money. That's illegal here, right? I think it's illegal everywhere to make money. Not allowed to make money. Come on.
No, I know it can.
So by needing it, we're pushing it away. It's just like in relationships, right? When we become too needy and, oh, I really need you to feel happy. That is not even a good feeling for yourself, right? To be needy, because now you're making yourself so dependent, whether it's on someone, on something, or on money. If I had all this money, then I would be happy. Do you really need the money to be happy? Do you really need all the stuff to be happy?
No, the answer is no, pretty much every single time. And if your answer to that is yes, then that's a whole different topic and conversation that we would need to have, because those material aspects are not the things that are going to bring you happiness. They're not going to give you the happiness. They never will be.
Yeah, and I think the desperation, if you have that, you know, the need to have money, that is what is creating energetic resistance. The energetic resistance is when you start chasing something, whether it's money or you're chasing your goals or you're chasing things that you simply want, and you're really pushing, you're pushing, and you are desperate. Because desperation, the energy of desperation, is energy of fear. And if you say, I need money, mostly it is because you fear of what's going to happen if you don't have the money. However, all those thoughts that are coming out of fear, most of them never come to fruition.
Sure.
Especially in trading, because most traders are very ambitious people and they won't allow themselves to get to the point where they just sit there and like, okay, that's it. That's the end. I don't have anything in my life. There is just no solutions. That's it, right? We are very resourceful, and our survival instinct will not let us just to sit there and do nothing.
They don't. It's innate in all of you, that your relationship with the money that you have, the relationship with the money that you want to make, and the relationship with the money that you fear you will lose. All three of those aspects are things that you need to be able to come to grips on and be honest that what you have right now, you either want to make more or you don't want to lose it. Those are true in every aspect. Now you have to figure out which way is going to pull you more. The value of the money that you want to make in order to create more abundance in your life and for the positives that you can bring to your own life and those around you, or do you want to associate it with it in fear of, if I lose this, and then I won't be able to provide for my family, my friends, my, you know, things that I need? All of those aspects are either driven by one of those three components. And all three of them are things that you need to be able to figure out what your relationship with all of them are. And then your next choice, you have to be able to take responsibility and accountability for it. You can't blame
Right.
anybody else and say, oh, just because they're rich, I can't be rich. Or, well, now I don't have anything and it's somebody else's fault.
Right. Yeah, you can create the abundance in your life when all your energy is vibrating at scarcity level. Because scarcity creates fear, fear creates contraction, and contraction creates stagnation. So there is no flow. And if you, it's just like in trading, when you force trades, you will see that you stop seeing clearly because you're forcing, your focus narrows, you have this tunnel vision, and this is where your losses come. So you want to make money, you start forcing trades, but the result is the opposite. Scarcity will never create the abundance. And this is what I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. It's a very simple principle. When you chase, the thing you are chasing is running away from you just because you are chasing it. So automatically just go on a street and start running behind someone. You will see what happens. They will probably start running away from you. This is just this very simple principle, right? So that energy will never create and give you, will never attract the energy moving towards you. Money attracts the same way as you attract. So the same type of energy attracts the same type of energy. So if you are chasing, it's going to run away from you. But if you are respectful towards money, then you will see the flow going towards you.
Yeah, agree. And it's a pretty simple principle, but you can apply that for many different things in your life.
Yes.
It's quite easy that you can recognize how much money can do for you. And once you start to recognize, okay, so I need to figure out how I value it, why I'm chasing after it, and then let go of the ideas of going, I need to go and chase as run fast as hard as I can to get to it. It's never going to be what you think it is. When you can step back and finally just take a breath and say, okay, I'm doing this for the reasons that this is what I want to do. This is what I know I can do. I'm going to put in my effort to be able to understand the concepts, the strategies, and the management of everything that's going to come along with it. And a byproduct of that will be I will become confident, I will become knowing, and that is when you're going to be able to get back the results of money
Absolutely.
because it will come to the place that is recognizing, oh, okay, so you've done what you needed to do to respect the fact that you're going to get it. Here it is.
That's so well said. And that part of valuing money in trading, that comes to play in your risk management. How do you treat the money that you have in your account? Are you just throwing it out there and like, okay, I will see what happens? Or are you really thinking, what is the best opportunity here? What is worth my money? What is worth the risk? Because every time you take a trade, you're risking money, right? So I always recommend to ask yourself, is this trade worth my money? Is this the highest probability trade that I want to risk my money, that I want to put my effort in and my time as well? It's really having that respect and value that when you are working, when you have worked, no matter what, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, even if you made $1,000 in 30 seconds because you have planned your trade, you stuck to the rules, the opportunity was there, that money that you made is there to value. Now, you don't only value the money, you actually, through that money, you can start valuing yourself and being grateful for how you have handled that. The moment that you are looking at your wins, not from the perspective of, oh, I just made $1,000, that's awesome, but looking at, I have put so much work and I have handled myself in a way that I was able to make that money. Suddenly, that appreciation and the value of you growth because you were able to give that opportunity to yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And it comes from continued effort. And you have to be cognizant of where your deficits are, what your belief system is, how you were raised, and your association with money. And all of those are going to be different for every single one of us. We've all been raised very differently. As Agnieszka and I both talked about our backgrounds, they're very, very different, but we ended up in the same place. And there's a reason for that. Every single one of us is very different. But at the end of the day, once you start valuing your own time, your own effort, your own energy, your own associations, and you put in that time and effort, you're going to be able to get back money. And that's when you can start to value yourself and value the money and the time and the effort that it's taken for you to get to where you are now.
Absolutely. When you respect money, when you are grateful for everything that is coming, you get more of it. The energy of gratefulness, the attitude of gratitude, that is the energy, the frequency that is attracting more. One component of receiving it is the part of the energy that you are sending, because you have to feel safe to receive it. You have to be ready to receive it. You cannot give the resistance to it when it's coming to you and reject it by questioning whether you deserve it, whether it's too much, whether it's good. Because when you give the positive energy, when you send the positive energy, when you put it out there, you will automatically attract positive energy. So you got to start shifting to the mindset of, I don't work per hour.
Yeah.
I put a lot of value into my time. I value my time, and everything that I do, whether it's learning skills, whether it's preparing your plan, has to do with what value you want to get out of the time that you are actually spending on trading. And it could be 30 minutes in front of your charts. The rest is preparation, and this is the value that you are getting. So anytime when you feel like, okay, I need to work more, did I work long enough? That means that you are falling back into exchanging your time for money. That has a limit. So if you really want to use the potential of limitless from trading, and I know that most traders are getting into trading because of that potential, you got to stop exchanging the time for money.
Yes, start working for value, not hour.
Right. Just as an exercise for the coming weeks, start observing yourself. What thoughts are coming up when you think about money? When you see people around you that are rich, when you are thinking about something you want, are you saying, oh, it's expensive? Because that is, again, the cycle of putting yourself into scarcity. And when you start talking about cheap and expensive, you are looking into monetary value of the money instead of money as energy. When you look from the value perspective, when you see something that has a higher price, ask yourself, is this worth it? Is it worth it for me to buy this for that price? Instead of saying that's too expensive. Basically, when you're saying it's too expensive, you are saying, I don't see the value in it. And when you start seeing the value in things, then there is really nothing too expensive. But it has to have enough value for you. The same with choosing your trades. Does this have enough value for me? Any moment of your day, what is it that you're putting your attention on? What is it that you're spending your time on? Does it deliver value? Completely different approach. So I invite you to start practicing it and see how you're feeling towards money, especially when you're trading, is going to change.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. And there's a simple aspect. You can just go to a mall and you can walk around. You're going to value certain things in different stores more than you're going to value other things in other stores. That's the same as trading. You're going to go in and you're going to look at a different store and a different trade. They're going to be the same aspect. You're going to keep walking down that mall and you're going to look in, Banana Republic and Gap and, J. Crew or, then Sears, whatever the companies are that are inside of that mall. That's going to be the same as trading. There's going to be a multiple different aspects for you to go and find what you want. It's just where you choose that provides the most value for you. Charts are going to be all over the place. Some charts might be exactly identical, but you might feel as though that you trade, tech better than gold. And that's okay. You just have to find out that the chart setups for what you value in your own risk management and your own time and effort and energy is where you will choose to make it. And it's honestly, every single trade is consistently up to you on what you choose to value.
Absolutely. Remember this, money is powerful, but not because it has power over you, but it's powerful because it mirrors your energy. So you have the influence. You can change your relationship with money completely by changing your energy, by changing your attitude towards money, whether you are chasing it or you letting it come to you, whether you are contracting or you are allowing the flow. So not acting out of fear, but taking actions according to what is it that you are valuing, what is it that you want. When you start treating money that way, you will see incredible shift. Plus, the attitude of gratitude will bring you more of the things that you are grateful for. Just give it a try. Start appreciating every single thing throughout the day. And it can be very simple. Sometimes it's, not easy to come up with, like, what am I going to appreciate? Well, appreciate that the sun comes up. Appreciate the air. Appreciate whatever you see around you. Appreciate the roof above your head when you wake up. And start feeling what does it do to you from inside. When you start doing that, you will see that you will automatically will start attracting more of the things to appreciate. And the money is just a consequence of that.
100%.
Greg, thank you so much for this conversation. I am thrilled to actually learn about how you grew up. We know each other for some time, but we actually never talked about how we grew up. So it was very interesting for me to hear.
That was super great. I honestly, that was probably the best part of the conversation for me. I had never thought about your perspective on how you growing up in communism was so vastly different than how I did. But I thought it was absolutely amazing. So thank you so much for sharing that. I thought it was great.
Absolutely. And, it's the interesting part of it is that it always helps me to be more grateful for what I have. For every single moment. And sometimes I will put myself in the observer position in the third chair and just look around and think, how did I get here? From that little girl that was living there. And, I still have vivid memories of how I was growing up.
Sure.
To where I am right now. It almost seems like I'm living a different, like few lifetimes in one life. Because it is so different. And the fact that it is possible to shift the mindset in a way that you allow yourself to actually get out of that old way of thinking. And because of that, you start attracting more and all the things that you want. And you see this effortless flow, which was very different at that time.
I agree wholeheartedly. Well said. And thank you a million. I appreciate you sharing. So thank you from my side.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you again, Greg, for being here. And if you like our discussions, if you like the episodes, please leave a review in Apple Podcasts platform and tell us what you like about it. Tell us what you would like to hear more of. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to the Confidence in Trading podcast. If you are enjoying my show, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and tell me what you like about it. Thanks to you, more traders will be able to find me, and together we'll make a bigger impact. So thank you so much. If you are new to my show, don't forget to subscribe so you can come back for the next episode. And make sure to also check some of the previous shows. Thank you again for tuning in. This is Agnieszka Wood from Ahead Coach. Bye for now.